Blog Talk Radio.
Israel, have fallen short in your sight.
Open your eyes and see. 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 Open your eyes and see.
Open your eyes and see.
Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see.
Shalom, shalom. Before we get into our lesson tonight, I want to briefly talk about a few events that just passed. First of all, the other day there were a group of my beautiful brothers and sisters from around the country celebrating a day called the Day of Atonement. But the bad thing is, they all celebrated the wrong day, as they do on most of their holy days. The ones that call themselves celebrating the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Day of Atonement are doing it totally incorrectly. Why? Because they have learned the ways of the heathens. And the Most High warned his people about keeping days that other people observe. We go to Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. Now, we have something here that you will not find in the New Testament, nor will you find in the Quran. Here, the Almighty names the various holy days that he wants his people to celebrate. And in these days that we are to celebrate, the Creator tells his people the exact month, the exact date, and the exact time of day to celebrate these great holy days. Let me show you what I'm talking about. As we start reading in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, it starts off by saying,
"And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation."
Now, feasts were not days where we were literally eating, but they were called, all of our holy days were called feasts. And it said pertaining and concerning the feast of Yahweh, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. And then the Creator begins the first feast, which is the Sabbath day, by saying,
6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings.
And all of your dwellings. So you see, the children of Israel, as well as any intelligent person that is wise enough to obey the same laws that the Creator has given unto his son Israel, these are the days that the Creator has decreed and ordained for us to celebrate. Now, the first one he mentions is one of the most sacred days of all, which is the Sabbath day. Then he comes right back in verse 27 and said, if we start reading in verse 26,
and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying,
and now, in other words, this is the Creator directly speaking to a man. You'll not find that in the New Testament. They know they can't lie on Yah, so what they'll do is say an angel came and talked to Joseph. Or in the Quran, they'll say an angel came and talked to Muhammad. But here, in Yah's holy scriptures, which both books totally validate, here it says Yahweh spoke to Moses, who was a leader at that time of the children of Israel. And it said, Yah spoke unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there should be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And notice what it says in verse 32.
It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at even. From even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath.
Now, here's the problem. There's a bunch of people all over the world saying that they keep this day, that they observe this day because it's extremely important, because it's the most holiest day of the year. We have many Jewish people in the synagogue. They also highly celebrate this day, and they also profess it being the most holiest day of the year. Likewise, we have little Christian churches and people calling themselves Hebrew Pentecostals and some of them apostolic in holiness, and they also attempt to keep this day. But are they observing it? The most holiest day of the year. If you ask your ministers today, I want you to do something. I want you to call up your bishops. Call up your reverends, those of you, call up your rabbis, call up your kohens, call up your morays, and ask them to show you when do we suppose to celebrate this today. What are we to go by? What gauge, what marker are we to utilize to show us exactly when these days will occur? And you know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you they go by the Jewish calendar. Then I want you to politely ask your foolish bishops, then where did Yahweh tell us to go by a Jewish calendar? Where did he mention that I want this congregation, this church, this Knesset, this assembly to recognize the Jewish calendar as a standard in evaluating my holy days? And if they're honest, they have to confess and say, nowhere. Well, if they're going to say nowhere, then ask them to show you by what then are they going by. And they're totally dumbfounded. And they said, well, we've been going by the Jewish calendar for years. But ask yourself this, brothers and sisters, with the Almighty, give us holy days to keep, and then tell us exactly how to keep the holy days and exactly what time of month or day we're supposed to celebrate it. everybody that I know in Cincinnati that's not affiliated with our congregation, the House of Israel, on California Avenue, we're celebrating the Day of Atonement on the wrong day. They were all celebrating the Day of Atonement on a Sabbath day. The Day of Atonement did not occur until that Monday. Monday on our calendars would coincide with what? September the 20th. That's when we celebrated the Day of Atonement. Then what do we go by? We go by exactly what the Creator told us to go by, and that is His new moon. See, the word moon and month are synonymous with each other. Our moons establish our months. They are totally synonymous with one another. So, therefore, in order for us to know when the 10th day is, the first thing we have to do is know how to look for our new moon. And this is what we look for. And we know everybody else was in the air because we was talking to our brothers and sisters all over the country, all over Cincinnati. And then there was a group from Cincinnati went out in Ohio somewhere and met somewhere, calling themselves Keeping the Day of Atonement. And I said, how are you going to keep it on the Saturday? There was no new moon. And they said, well, we go by the Jewish calendar. I said, where did Yah tell us to go by a Jewish calendar? He did. Here's what the Creator told our people to do in deciding when our new moon is and when we're to celebrate our various holy days. Let me first take you to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. It tells us in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, exactly when the first month is. And it's not in January, and it's not according to a Jewish calendar, but it rather says, and according to Exodus, the 12th chapter, the first verse,
and Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron, in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months.
This, in other words, this moon shall be unto you the beginning of your moon. This is the beginning of your new moon cycle.
It shall be the first month of the year to you.
It shall be the first month of the year unto you. So we knew what moon we were looking for. We were looking for the first moon, and in Hebrew it tells you exactly what moon to look for. For if we go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, the very first verse, here is what it will say.
Observe the month of Abib.
In other words, observe the month of Abib. What is Abib? That is the month of the tender herbs. That's when our fruits, this is when our vegetation, this is when our barley and crops started growing. And he said this is what they call springtime, when everything is coming up. And he said, observe the month of Abib and
keep the Passover unto Yahweh thy Elohim.
Because the Passover was in the first month of the year, and that is the month of Abib. And this is what the Creator told our people to observe. And this is what we're supposed to be looking for, even though most of our people are still following a Jewish calendar. And that is against the precepts and testimonies of the Most High. If you notice, all through the scriptures, our Creator told us to always observe the new moon. And if we were observing the new moon, then nobody could say, hey, this is the new month, when we don't see a moon. Notice what it says in the book of Ezekiel, the 46th chapter. Here, Yah speaks speaks to the fact that he's going to reestablish his kingdom on earth. And when he reestablished his kingdom on earth, he said our people would be joyful and they would celebrate before him in his temple every Sabbath day and every new moon. Because the new moon is very important to Yah. Without us knowing our new moons, we would never know how to celebrate our holy day. So he wanted us to be accustomed to understanding the new moon. So every month we have a celebration. Now, the new moon celebration, where it was not a holy convocation, for if it was a holy convocation, it would be a Sabbath day, and it would be mentioned in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. It is not mentioned there, but it's mentioned elsewhere throughout the scriptures as a holy day. And here we see the Creator speaking in the book of Ezekiel, the 46th chapter, the first verse. The Creator says,
thus saith Yahweh Elohim.
Something you'll never find in the New Testament or the Quran, where the Creator is speaking personally himself in the first person. Thus said Yahweh Elohim,
the gate of the inner court that looketh towards the east shall be shut the sixth working day.
It shall be shut six working days.
But on the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath.
It shall be open.
It shall be open on the Sabbath day.
And in the day of the new moon.
And in the day of the new moon.
It shall be opened.
It shall be open. Why? Because the Almighty wanted all of his beloved people to always present themselves in an orderly manner before our Creator every Sabbath day and every new moon. Furthermore, if you look in the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter, it says,
verse 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another.
From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another.
Shall all flesh come to worship before me.
Worship before Yah. Here the Creator says, after his ministers go out the world and teach his laws, that from one Sabbath to another Sabbath, and from one new moon to another new moon, shall all flesh. Now this is a last day prophecy. All flesh come to worship before him. So at that time, the whole world will know how serious and know the importance and the significance of the new moon on that day. Furthermore, if you look in the book of, Numbers, the 10th chapter. In the book of Numbers, the 2nd chapter, the 10th chapter, rather, Yah teaches people how that they would make two trumpets of silver for the calling of his assemblies. And they called our people together by blowing the trumpets. And notice what it says in verse 10.
Also, in the day of your gladness.
In the day that you're celebrating, your great day of your gladness.
And in your solemn days.
And also in your solemn days.
And in the beginnings of your months.
In the beginnings of our months. That's when we first see the first sign of a new moon. When we first see that first little crescent. That's beginning of our months. Brothers and sisters, yesterday, the new moon was first sighted in Jerusalem. And then it was sighted here in Cincinnati last night. Yesterday evening, all of our men seen the new moon. Those that were interested in making an observation, should I have said, seen and witnessed the new moon. So we know we are doing as the Creator told us to do. A lot of people go by when the moon is, you can't see anything. Well, why would the Creator tell us to go and look for something we couldn't see? We don't look for a blackness in the sky. We look for a moon. The Almighty said, look for the new moon. The word moon comes from the word lunar. Lunar comes from lunation. Lunation means to glow, to shine, to be bright. If you're not seeing no light, you don't have a new moon. The Almighty said he created two great lights. The greater light, the rule of the day, and the lesser light, the rule of the night. Well, the lesser night light he named as the moon. And when he told us to look for the new moon, that meant the beginning of the moon when it started building up. And that's what our people looked for in Jerusalem and reported it to the various elders that were throughout our community. And here the Creator tells us, in the beginning of your moon, ye shall blow the trumpet. So when we do that every new moon, we know everybody can't hear the trumpet, so we call everybody up. As soon as we hear it, our phones ring all over the United States to those that have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding and wish to walk in the ways of the Most High, because our moon dictates our holy days. Now, for instance, the heathens celebrate Christmas and Easter. But ask them to show you one place where Christmas and Easter is mentioned. Not only is it not mentioned out of the mouth of the true and living Elohim, it's not mentioned out of the mouth of anybody. And they got you celebrating because monkey see, monkey do. You're just following a white man and then call yourself following the Most High. He told you to listen to his prophets. He didn't tell you to allow the heathens to dictate to you when to celebrate a day. But unfortunately, it's only a few of us that are attempting to walk in the way that Yah chose for our people to walk. The last verse I'll show our people to let them know that we keep the new moon in all of our dwelling places and let them know that you don't have to be in Jerusalem to keep the Sabbath day. And you don't have to be around a temple to keep the Sabbath day. And you don't have to be around a temple to make an offering in order to keep the Sabbath day. I'm going to take you to the book, the 2 Kings. Now, when we go to the book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, here Yah will show you an ordinary woman in a very small town. Very insignificant time. You wouldn't even know the name of it. And these people celebrated the Sabbath within their community every Sabbath day, although they were not bringing any offerings to no temple, although they were not making sacrifices at the temple, in their dwelling they kept the Sabbath day and they kept the new moon. Notice what it says in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, and we're going to expedite everything by just going right to the 22nd and the 23rd verse. Or do we want to go a little above that to get an understanding? I think that would be significant right there. Go ahead.
And she called unto her husband.
In other words, a lady called unto her husband, and notice what she said to her husband. This is when the child was sick. She had befriended a great prophet by the name of Elisha, whom I name after. But when Elisha left, her son became ill. And she thought her son was dead because he was. And she wanted the man of God or the man of Elohim to come to her house. And here is what she said.
And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of Elohim and come again.
May I want to run and hurry and get to the man of Elohim that he can come back to me again because my little lad is sick.
And he said, wherefore would thou go to him today?
Why are you going to the man of Elohim today?
It is neither new moon nor Sabbath.
It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. So what is that showing me? And what should it be showing you? That even this small, insignificant lady in this very small town, she was accustomed to having a man of Elohim teach them the word of the Most High every Sabbath day and every new moon. And what's happening today? Today in the United States, our congregation is one of the few congregations anywhere in the world that's still celebrating Yah's new moons. We celebrate the new moons every month. That's how we know exactly when a new moon has come. So if you people are tired of being tricked, tired of being misled, and you want to say, well, at least I don't study with you, but I would still like to know when is the proper time to keep our feast days, then just call me. Call me up at area code 513-226-7110. Because believe it or not, they got a lot of other things messed up also. But I just wanted to drop that note. Now, before I go to another current event, I want to go to a couple of sisters on the internet. Because today on this great occasion of the new moon, I just want to talk to our people. I want to talk to them personally. I want to address their issues, their questions, and their frustrations. So just call in and we can just have a family talk. But right now we're going to go right to Sister Shira. Yes? Hello? Shalom?
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
How are you?
Fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Hallelujah. I'm happy to listen to this because actually this is something new to me,
yeah.
The new moon and the days of celebration and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of the fact that the new moon was a new month.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't really have a congregation here that that I follow or fellowship with.
Okay.
So this is new and good news for me.
All right.
And
well, we'd like to invite you to come to our place at 1664 California Avenue. Any Sabbath day, and we're there from 12 noon till the sun goes down that evening. We're there, and we're there making a joyful noise. We're there with some of the best singers in the world, and we're making a new song to our King. He said, make a new song unto him, and we've got a whole lot of new songs. We got dedicated to the King of Kings, and we teach his word all day long. So if you'd like to visit us and consider us for a possible place that you and your family would like to come and study and be with, we would love to have you. All right?
Yes, sir.
And are there any questions or any other comments or any observations that you would like to make?
No, not at this time. I just want to continue to listen and learn.
And let me tell you this, and I want you to stay on today, but in the future, you don't have to call the radio station in order to listen to our program because I know it might be hard to pick up in your area. We have a conference line that you and other people can call and just get on the conference line and listen. Let me give you that number so you might get on that next week, okay? You have a pen?
Yes.
All right, here's the conference number. It is 209-647-1000. In other words, 647-1000. Now, when you call that number, they ask you for your asset number. The asset code is 396-222. All right?
Thank
think those are right numbers, and you can try that next week, because sometimes we have so many people on the line, you might not be able to get on this line. So I'm just
telling
you.
Okay, I can hang up and call now.
Well, yes, and if you have a problem getting in, just call right back, okay?
All right, okay.
All right, and thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Right now we're going to another sister right here by the name of Cynthia. Sister Cynthia, how are you?
I'm doing well, Brother Teacher. How are you?
Excellent.
Listen, I have a question about a verse that appears in the book of Acts, and I promise not to take you off your topic tonight.
I'm enjoying all the new
information, but I've had this conversation a couple of times and unable to clear it up with the elders and scholars in my own church. The word Easter, which is new to me, appears actually in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. But in my research, it clearly is used in relation to the Passover. Only I was really surprised to see the word appear in the book, and I'm not sure why Paul would use Easter.
Well, there's a lot of things I might say about Paul, but the reality is he didn't. They put that there. The people that wrote the New Testament injected the word Easter, but it's not in the original manuscripts. In the original scriptures, you will see the word Passover. But they put it in these New English Bibles to confuse our people and let them think that this Easter they're celebrating is a holy day that's validated by the scriptures. When in reality, like you said, Sister Cynthia, the word Easter, as I said, is not even in the Bible at all.
I taught that for many years,
yes.
And then...
So that's just something they put there to mislead people, to let them celebrate a pagan holiday that's not even in existence by those that knew the Most High at all. And every Sunday, Easter Sunday, your church is just filled with Almighty Easter. And no such... In the true Easter... came from Esther, the goddess of fertility, and they celebrated her birthday every spring when the flowers were blossoming and plants were growing up, and they started talking about little rabbits laying eggs.
But
and
that's
everybody...
Purim, right? That's the...
No, that's no, not Purim.
That's not Purim.
No,
okay.
No, that's not Purim. They celebrate. There's a world of difference between Purim, and they don't even call it Purim. They call it Easter, and they say it's the resurrection. But actually, if you study the scriptures, no one ever celebrated the resurrection, period. That was never a day celebrated. After the Christ of the New Testament died, his disciples and those that knew him and followed him and that were under his directives never celebrated Easter, nor any they call the resurrection. They are totally pagan.
Okay.
And I just want you to have
I understood
truth.
That part. I just was really shocked to see the word appear in the book of Acts.
Oh.
I just was really shocked to see it there. And then to understand that it was used in connection to the Passover.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
You are certainly welcome, and thank you. And that stays tuned on, and you might... have some other questions or comments or observations you'd like to make. But I appreciate you listening. All right. Let's make another couple of comments. There was a Larry. You just went off. You just cut off accidentally. But if you call back Larry, we're able to address your issues. So if you cut off accidentally, just call back. But let me make another observation. Right now, the other day, one of my beloved brothers came and gave me a paper called The Final Call. And in the front paper page, it said, Farrakhan states that the black men in America are the children of Israel. Well, we've been teaching this for years. We've been knowing it for years, and we have people in service since we had slaves in America teaching our people that they are the original children of Israel. But now that Farrakhan and those that follow him acknowledge the fact that we are the children of Israel, They acknowledged the fact that we were sent to this land for 400 years, as it is stated in Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 13th and 14th verse, and they recognized that we were sent to this land because we disobeyed the laws of the Creator, and that he was angry with us, and that he told us that if we would not hearken unto his commandments and that would not hearken unto his words, that these many evil things would befall our people. And that's how you know we are the children of Israel. The Most High said that we would be taken out of our own land through the act of captivity and never returned home until he himself redeem us back home. And today we're the only people in the world that's been taken out of their land through the act of captivity and has never returned home. The Almighty said right there in the book of Deuteronomy that they would take your name away from you. And he stated it also in the book of Joshua and also in the book of Psalms, the 83rd chapter. Take your name Israel from you, and you would become a proverb and a byword amongst all the people of the world. And that's what we are today, a proverb and a byword. Some called us Negro, some called us colored people, some called us Picanini, some called us, I can't even tell you everything they called us, but they called us everything except a son of Yah, which is Israel. And the Creator prophesied that this was happening. He said they would change your language. They would take you out of your own land and bring you to their country in the north countries where they would rape your wives. They would hang and misuse your son. And everything the Creator said happened to our people. So I applaud the minister Farrakhan for acknowledging that we are the children of Israel. But now that he knows that, we want to see if he's going to start teaching our people to obey the commandments of the Most High. We want to see if he's going to quit teaching them now that they're Muslims and they're supposed to follow a Quran that was written hundreds of years after we were sent out of our land in exile because we disobeyed the Almighty. And since he realized that we were kicked out of our land for not obeying the laws of the Most High, we want to know if he's going to teach our people the laws. Is he going to teach them to keep the Sabbath day? Is he going to teach them the Almighty's Day of Atonement and not the one that he set up? We want to know if he's going to teach them the Almighty's dietary law and not the one in the Quran. We want to know exactly what he wants to teach them now that he is acknowledging the fact that we are the children of Israel. So you just can't glory with that, sir, and say, well, we're the children of Israel. Now you got to show that you are by doing what Yah expects of you. And what is the whole duty of man in the first place? Whether you're an Israelite, whether you're a German, whether you're Russian, whether you're an Ethiopian, whether you're Cuban, the whole duty of man is mentioned in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 12th verse. Here's what it says.
And further by these, my son, be admonished.
Be admonished.
Of making many books, there is no end.
At making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh.
Let us hear the conclusion.
Let us hear the bottom line. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Fear Elohim.
Fear Elohim.
And keep his commandments.
And keep his commandments.
For this is the whole duty of man.
That's the whole duty of man, sir. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. And the Quran does not have the commandments of Yahweh in it. There's nothing in the Quran about not eating a dog. There's nothing in the Quran about not eating a rat. It's not in the Quran that we should all keep Yah's holy Sabbath and new moons every seventh day and every first of the month. Nothing. Nothing in the Quran about all the Almighty's covenants. Those holy covenants are not mentioned in the Quran. Even though the Quran says that they are under a covenant, we want to know what covenant. Because we have no everlasting covenant that Yah gave anyone in the Quran. And if you want to acquaint yourselves with the holy covenants of Yahweh, then you're going to have to leave alone the Quran. You're going to have to put down the New Testament because it's not there either. And you're going to have to go back to the Holy Scriptures or what is commonly called the Old Testament. And you're going to have to reacquaint yourselves with the laws, commandments, statutes, covenants, precepts, and testimonies of our Creator and learn them and do them. Notice, Brother Muslims and Mr. Farrakhan, what the Creator says about his commandments in the book of Deuteronomy. If you go in the book of Deuteronomy, I think some of y'all are already there. If you go to the 20, here's what it says in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 26.
Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law.
Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law. And this very day that I'm speaking, you have devilish, sinful, wicked women out teaching that you don't have to keep Yah's Sabbath day. You have these devils out here teaching that you don't have to keep the Creator's commandments. And these are devils that is not confirming the law. And look what Yah's people said. Cursed be he that confirms not all the words of the law. And there is no law to not keep the Sabbath day. There is no law not to keep the commandments. There is no law to worship JC. But contrary to that, all the law says don't worship JC. Don't worship anyone else. Keep the Sabbath day and keep all of my covenants and my testimonies and my commandments forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. That's what these things are saying. And that's where the Creator's people got together and said, cursed be he that confirms not to do them. And all the people shall say amen. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Brother Alicia and those with me, we confirm all the words of this law. And not only do we confirm that they are laws, some people say, what did you do with the Sabbath? What did you just think about it? You don't have to keep it, just acknowledge it. And then that line, that spin that the Jehovah's Witness give you, that's the line and spin of all spins. I talk to my Jehovah's Witness brothers and sisters, and I say, well, we don't have to keep the law. They said, no, the laws are done away with, Brother Alicia. I say, well, Mr. and Mrs. Jehovah's Witness, if the laws are done away with, then I can commit adultery today? They said, no. I said, I can murder today? They said, no. I say, well, I thought you said that these laws are done away with. Well, they are done away with, but we still have to live by the principles of the law. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? The law is done away with. We don't have to keep the law, but we got to keep the principles of the law. Well, brothers and sisters, if you're keeping the principles of the law, you're keeping the law. Well, look up the word principle when you get home. And this is the spin that the brothers and sisters that a Jehovah's Witness will give you. If you don't believe me, ask them next time they come to the door. Is it all right to commit adultery since we are not under the law? And watch that little spin, and they were taught to use the words, we live by the principles of the law. Well, there's nowhere in this book that the Creator says, you don't have to keep my commandments anymore, but you must acknowledge the principles of my law. Tell them to show you that. I'm tired of these people misleading my people. These Muslim leaders, these Jehovah's Witness leaders, these apostolic leaders, these Pentecostal leaders, I'm tired of you all misleading y'all's people. And I'm going to do everything in my everything that's humanly possible to let the people know that you all are being tricked and being misled and being deceived by these people. We're going to pull the cloth all off of them. And that's what we're going to do at the House of Israel. But I just wanted you all to think of those current events about what the Muslim leader said and about the Day of Atonement and about the new moon. I want you to think about these things. If the whole duty of man is to fear Elohim and keep his commandments, then that means wherever you are, whoever you are. So don't let these people teach, well, the only ones that could be saved were the Jews. And the only way that we could be saved as Gentiles, Christ had to come for us. Well, let me tell you this. The Almighty only had one law for his people, and one law to the stranger that joined himself to Yah's people. One law. Notice what our Creator says. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. And this is for all you Gentiles, because I have a lot of Gentile sisters that call me that realize that people have been lied to. And I have young Gentile men and women that are calling me, acknowledging me, that I'm teaching the truth. I had some young Jewish people last week and some young Gentile fellows last week. My last week, my line was just flooded with just young Gentiles, and that's the reason I'm sending this message to you. And they're saying, brother, I know you are teaching the truth. And where can I come in Cincinnati to learn this truth? I'm trying to learn the things that you're teaching because I know you're teaching the truth. And let me show you something. For those beautiful sisters and brothers of other nations that want to be a part of the commonwealth of Israel and be a recipient of the various blessings that Yahweh had bestowed unto his people. Look what our Creator said. If we look in the book of Isaiah, the 56th chapter, it says,
thus saith Yahweh, keep ye judgment.
Keep judgment.
And do justice.
And do justice.
For my salvation is near to come.
Yah letting you know that his time is near. And it's near to come now.
And my righteousness to be revealed.
Yah's righteousness is being revealed as we are speaking to you this night.
Blessed is the man that does this.
Blessed is a man that does this.
And the son of man that layeth hold on it.
And the son of man that layeth hold on it.
That keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it.
Keep your Sabbath from polluting it.
And keepeth his hand from doing any evil.
And notice what Yah said. Now your priest is going to say, well, you don't have to keep the Sabbath day. Keep Sunday. Why keep Sunday? There is no significance in Sunday. Why Sunday? There's no blessings attached to Sunday if a man kept it. There was no curses attached to Sunday if you didn't keep it. It was never mentioned out of the Most High's mouth as anything significant. All the people in the Old Testament kept the Sabbath day. The people of the New Testament, when they worshiped, it was on the Sabbath day. But these priests are going to have you going to church on Sunday, and make them justify that. And then they said, well, the reason we don't keep the Sabbath day, because it was given to the Jews. And since we're not Jews, we don't have to keep that. Well, righteousness was given to the Jews. And if you don't want to be righteous, then don't follow the ways of those that are righteous. The scripture says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But he that is a companion of fools shall be brought to shame. And we don't want you being a companion of fools. Look what it is saying.
Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it.
That keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it.
And keepeth his hand from doing any evil.
He's talking to the son of a stranger now. Didn't say nothing about you have to bring a sacrifice. Didn't say nothing about you he had to bring a goat or a lamb. It says, blessed is the man that does this, and the son of the man that taketh hold of it. Take hold of what? The Sabbath day. That keep the Sabbath from polluting it, as many of our people are doing it today. And keepeth his hand from doing any evil. And let me tell you, if you're teaching against the Sabbath day, and you're not keeping the Sabbath day, and you're not acknowledging this great holy day, then you are doing evil. That says, keepeth his hand from doing evil.
Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to Yahweh speak, saying, Yahweh hath utterly separated me from his people.
He said, don't let the strangers speak and say, Yahweh utterly separated me from his people. And the only way I can get to his people is I have to accept Christ. Because Christ died for my sins, so I'm going to have to accept him. No, the Creator didn't tell no such a lie as that. The Creator said the son of the stranger that wants to be saved, that wants to have any type of salvation, that he has to join himself unto Yah, speak, and don't let him speak, saying, Yahweh has utterly separated me from his people. He said, neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus said Yah unto the eunuch to keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take it hold of my covenant, even unto them will I bring to my house. So they wasn't in the house at first. And they wasn't bringing offerings to the house. But Yah said once they do this, he's going to bring them to his house.
Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name.
And I will give them an everlasting name.
That shall not be cut off.
That shall not be cut off.
Also the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will
even
I bring.
Even them, everyone that take hold of the Sabbath and keep the Sabbath from polluting it. And all you have to do to keep the Sabbath from polluting it is quit working on the seventh day of the week, which is commonly called Saturday. Quit working, quit doing your pledges, quit going to ball games, and make this a day of rest and a holy convocation. And if you want to go somewhere where you can learn the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, then come to 1664 California Avenue or go to your internet and listen to us teach all day live from our sanctuary at 1664 California Avenue by going to www.houseofisrael. Spell YISRAEL, houseofisrael.org. This is what the Creator wants you to do. The Creator doesn't want you to worship no man. The Creator don't want you to worship anyone other than himself. And he's not named JC. Now, before I go a little further and get into some other things, let me acknowledge a couple of the callers on here and speak to them briefly. And if anyone else would like to call us at 749-1230. And I assure you, we will address all of your concerns. First thing we're going to go to is Brother Yahshua, right here in Cincinnati. Brother Yahshua.
Hey, Shalom.
Shalom.
Hey, I just wanted to say a couple things about the Day of Atonement that you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
And I would agree with you that, you know, we're supposed to go by the calendar that the Almighty set for us to go by and not follow, you know, the fake Jews' calendar, things like that. The second thing I wanted to say about the Day of Atonement was, you know, you were right that a lot of people following him and, you know, keeping it on different days. But also, I don't know if you agree with this part, but they're also following the fake Jews by fasting on the Day of Atonement, where Almighty never commanded us to fast on the Day of Atonement.
Okay. If you don't mind me addressing that last thing, because I agree with you, every word you said, except you said he never commanded us to fast.
Right.
If you,
that's following the heathen again.
Well, the Creator told us in many of the, I have several different Torahs, Brother Yahshua, and many of the Torahs, they have the word affliction translated to fast. I don't know if the original Torah has fast instead of afflicting or not, but I do know that one way that we can afflict ourselves is by fasting. And I looked in the book of Isaiah, and I seen on one of our days of atonement that we were fasting. We were fasting all of that day. Did you know that every 49 years we have what they call the Jubilee?
Actually, that's every 50th year.
Yeah.
But yes.
Every 49 years, and then you will have the Jubilee. Now, on the Jubilee, it was a day, it always fell on a Day of Atonement. And if you look at it in the scriptures, you'll see where it said that we fasted on that Day of Atonement. Let me look it up, and I think if you go to Isaiah, the 58th chapter, I believe that's where it is. And if you look in your scriptures, it says, in the third verse, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou see it not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls and taken no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. It is such a fast that I have chosen,
a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to Yahweh? As I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness.
Yeah, that's what he wanted us to do on a day of our fast, on the Day of Atonement. He said to loose the bands of wickedness,
to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And Yahweh shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
All right. And that's why we celebrate the Day of Atonement with fasting and affliction.
Okay, can I comment on that?
No, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. The first part that you started off with, you said you don't know what the original Torah says. I actually have the original Torah in the ancient Hebrew or Paleo Hebrew, and it says, you know, the same thing. The Hebrew word is onah, and onah means to humble yourself. No definition in that word means to fast. There's actually another Hebrew word that means to fast. The second part of that, when you went to Isaiah 58, I don't have my scriptures in front of me. I'm out. But if I remember right, I think it's the seventh verse. I think your Brother Uel might have read it. The seventh verse actually says, if it's not the seventh, it's one of those verses, six or seven verse. It says something like, isn't it the day to deal your bread to the poor? So if it was the Day of Atonement and we were committed not to eat, why were we giving food or our bread to the poor? You know, but that's just a little bit. But it's something we'll have to, like, sit down together because there's many scriptures to go over in dealing with the Day of Atonement. Mm-hmm. I can actually show where, you know, the priest Aaron was eating on the Day of Atonement in the scripture.
All right. Well.
And he was told to eat by the Almighty on the Day of Atonement.
Well, I need to see that where the priest, where he was eating on the Day of Atonement. I need you to show me that.
Okay. Okay. I can do that.
Well, where's that at?
Shoot, let me think. Well, like I said, we can get together and I can do it, but
okay.
Like I'm out right now.
All
I don't
right.
have my scripture.
All right, good enough. Well, whenever you get it, I would be very pleased to see it. But let me comment on the two things you said. Now,
okay.
You said that you have the original Holy Scripture. No one has the original Holy Torah. No one has that. Because the original Holy Scriptures were the Ark of the Covenant that Yah wrote with his fingers on the tablet of stone. That was the only original. Now,
okay.
Other than that, they made books when the printing came out with these same laws, but none of these books that were printed by men are the original. So none of us have the original.
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right. And I didn't mean it like that when I said original. By original, I meant I have, you know, the Torah in the ancient Hebrew, in the original
language. I understand what you're saying.
Not that I have the original document itself.
I was thinking that you meant that, but I just wanted to clarify for the sake of the audience so they don't think that they really have the original Torah floating around here anywhere.
Right.
And so that was one observation I wanted to make. And then also about the book as far as them giving food to the poor. See, when we celebrated the Jubilee, we were celebrating that whole year. And the people that owed us that year, the people that owed us, we just let all the slaves go free the year of Jubilee. But the year of Jubilee always started with the Day of Atonement. And that's what I was showing you on the Day of Atonement. That day was a day of fasting, according to our scriptures. And when you get home, look at it, and we'll talk about it.
Okay, and one last quick comment. The only comment was Isaiah 58. Nowhere in that chapter does it say it's talking about the Day of Atonement. If you say that, you're assuming.
Well, no, I'm not assuming, because when you look at it, and I know they're talking about that, when you know the scriptures and get the original scripture, you know they're dealing with the Feast of Jubilee, and then always the first day of the Feast of Jubilee was the Day of Atonement. And I know that. And when you read this, and then what other day could they be talking about other than this, the day that I have chosen to bring forth all your sins? What other day could it be, sir? The only day the Almighty gave us to release our burdens, to release our sins, was the Day of Atonement. No other day. Now, if you can name another day, then I say, well, maybe you have a point. But there's not even another day to be considered. But I appreciate your comments, but I got a lot of people to go to, but I appreciate your comments and observations.
Okay,
and we'll talk again when you get the other book and we can go through it.
All right?
Shalom. Thank you, brother.
Yep.
Shalom. Really enjoyed the conversation with our beautiful brother. And that, before we go to any other scriptures, we've been having Brother Israel on for a while, and we want to get some comments from him before we go right to our scriptures again. Brother Israel.
Shalom, Elder. How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. Elder, I know that you certainly teach that you know, man can die for another man's sins, and that, you know, the righteousness of the righteous should be upon him and the wickedness of the wicked should be upon him. But I had a couple of concerns. I know you certainly teach that, you know, Yahshua didn't come to die for no man's sins. know, one of my concerns is that, you know, I don't understand. So today, why do we die in general because of Adam's sin?
Oh, what does that got to do with? Yeah, sure. You had me a little baffled with how you threw that in there. But first, I'll answer your last question. Why do we die? We die as a result of the fact that our father Adam first sinned. And the Creator told Adam that the day that he shall surely die in the day that you sin. And he did die in that day because he did not live to be 1,000 years old. The oldest man was 997 years old, and that's Methuselah. He almost got to be 1,000, but no man reached 1,000. And 1,000 years in our sight is but a day to the Creator, according to the Book of Psalms. And nobody ever got to be a day old. So we all died in that day as the Almighty promised man and promised the father man. He said unto Eve, because thou hast done this thing, and he told her curse. He said, thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee, and children in sorrow. And I will greatly multiply thy conception. All this was done as a result of sin, and now that's why we're dying, because everything has been speeded up. Let me read it to you. That might help you, and then we can talk about why he did this to Adam and how that relates to us. But if we get to the book of Genesis, and we go to the third chapter, and it says... the third chapter, Genesis, the 16th verse, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. In other words, where it might have been painless to have a child. Here the Creator said, I'm going to greatly multiply that. Now you're going to have great pains, and not only will you have pains in your sorrow, but in your conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thou shalt desire should be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, this is all a result of the Creator punishment on Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve, because of their sin. Now, you and I might say, well, if I was God, I wouldn't do it that way. And why'd he do it like that? I know we can question it if we want. But the Creator said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, and as heaven above is higher than the earth beneath, so is my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The Creator just said, his infinite plan is not like you and I. He's far above us. So I don't have to make apologies for what he did, because we can't do nothing about it. But be thankful that we're living, period. Because we're only here today as a result of his grace. Not because we were smart and we was able to survive and we can talk back and ask him why he did this, that, and the other. We don't have that prerogative today.
I have one more question,
yes,
Elder.
Yes, sir.
I know that there are more than one way to atone for sins, but I think one of the ways that we could atone for sins was to bring a lamb or a billy goat to the priest, and the priest would slaughter that lamb or billy goat, and then take that blood and throw it against the altar, and then we would be forgiven for our transgressions or for our sins. I think that's one of the ways that we could be forgiven. Is that correct?
Well, that was something that was done initially on the first day of atonement that was celebrated. And that was one way, but that's not the way today. Today you don't have to have no billy goats, no lambs, no cattle. The Creator gave us a very simple recipe for our salvation. And that recipe, sir, if you have a Bible by you and you turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, you have a scripture?
Yes.
I go to 2 Chronicles in the 7th chapter.
Okay.
And the 14th verse. And while you're looking at it, I'll recite it to our listening audience. The Creator says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Is that what you just read?
Yes.
Notice you didn't see one word in there about Abednego, did you?
Right.
Didn't hear one word in there about a sacrifice, did you?
No.
Notice there's not one word about Christ, is it?
No.
Yeah. His recipe is very simple. The Creator said, my ways are so simple that a fool should not err. If you're looking for the truth, sir, we got it for you. If you're looking for lies and deceit, you're going to have to go to these churches and up and down our city, and that's where you get that. But if you want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, we're going to give it to you. If you're
well,
bad
you,
enough to accept it, we'll give it to you.
All right, thank you, Elder. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. My blessing. And, yes, that was a very good comment that brothers made, and I love the wisdom that's being brought forth today from my listening audience. These are truly words of wisdom coming from my sisters and brothers. But let me show you something, Brother Israel, that you can't minimize, and that is the law. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. Now let me show you his law. According to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, notice what the Creator says in the 16th verse.
The fathers shall not be put to death for the children.
Here the Creator said the fathers shall not be put to death for the children.
Neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers.
Neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. So my question is, then who shall be put to death for the father? Who shall be put to death for the son? And who shall be put to death for my sin? And who shall be put to death for your sin? And the Creator has an answer. His answer is, every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now, doesn't that sound practical? Doesn't that sound logical? Doesn't that sound intelligent? Doesn't that sound fair, and isn't that just? Our Elohim is not an Elohim that's going to watch you rape a little baby, disrespect your mama, abandon your children, and then allow a righteous man to suffer unspeakable evils because of your raggedy, nasty, trifling self. And they're going to lay all the sins of the world, all the rapists, all the murderers, all the thieves, all the people that are extortioners and dope sellers and people that misuse their people, and put all of this filth, this abomination, these sins on the head of a righteous man and say, because you did right, you're going to die from them. But that's not even the way of our Creator, brothers and sisters. Look what Abraham said to Yahweh in the book of Genesis, because we're going to speak to you all in the future when we break down Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and show you the reality of what that is speaking about. But if you go to the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, the Almighty is going to let you know that what you have been taught about him through the pages of the New Testament is very, very far from who he is. Do you know our father Abraham once asked the Almighty? The Almighty said, I'm going down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm going to see if they have done according to the cry that has come up to me. And Abraham said, well, what if you find 50 righteous men? And I said, let's start reading. So you see, let's go to Genesis 18, and we're going to start at verse 17.
And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?
Should I hide from Abraham this thing that I will do?
See that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation.
He's going to become a great mighty nation.
And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
Yes, if they circumcise their men children, as I told them that they must do to be a part of Abraham's house. They'll all be blessed through Abraham.
For I know him.
I know Abraham.
That he will command his children.
He is going to command his children.
And his household after him. And they shall keep the way of Yahweh.
They shall keep the way of Yahweh.
To do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it.
I'm going to see if they've done it altogether according to the cry that came up to me.
And if not, I would know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before Yahweh. And Abraham drew near.
He stood there before Yahweh. I thought Yahweh was just a spirit according to the New Testament. And here Abraham ate breakfast with the Most High, had some young beef with the Most High, and there standing talking to Yahweh. Something that the New Testament said that Yah is just a spirit. Well, I like that part because that proves that JC is not the Most High, because JC, they were looking at him. They talked to him, and he said that Yah God is a spirit. So you know he could not be God. But right, frankly, that verse is totally wrong. Yah is not just a spirit. Yah is not just anything. Yah is too great for me to define in words. I can't just define what the Most High is. So if one man to say he's just a spirit is a straight out, barefaced lie. Here he's talking to Abraham, and notice what he says.
And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, that be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Yahweh said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place.
I am going to spare it. Now let's go to verse 32. He said, I find 50 righteous men, I'm going to spare it. And then Abraham kept going down to 40 and 30 and 20, and then he finally got to 10. And look what the Most High said in verse 32.
And he said, oh, let not Yahweh be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake.
In other words, that's how much Yahweh loves the righteous. That's what it means to make intercession for transgressions. Those 10 righteous men would have made intercession for the whole city. And because of their righteousness, Yah would have spared the whole city for their sake. That's what it means to make intercession for transgressions. It don't mean for somebody righteous to die so that the wicked can live. It means that in while the righteous are there, he so loved the righteous that he will leave that house standing before and with all the thousands and millions of wicked people there for the sake of that one righteous man. That's how much Yahweh loves the righteous. So that all that tales you heard in the New Testament, nothing but lies, 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 and we're going to expose them. But right now our time is going over, and I appreciate you all listening. I appreciate your calling, And if anybody would like to see us,
I'd rather lead than follow, 'cause being left behind is all.